Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Yesterday on the programme, we were talking about indoor dining resuming for those who are fully vaccinated or who've recovered from COVID in the last 105 days. And the piece got a huge reaction. I have to say, though, mainly from people who have decided not to get vaccinated and now feel that they're being left behind in Irish society. So look, we decided to invite one of those on the programme here on the show on Lunchtime Live this afternoon just to explain why they feel like that. John is on the line in Cork. John, I believe you tried to get into a pub last night.
Afternoon. Well, I tell you, I tried to access a bar here in Cork last night and I was refused because I'm unvaccinated, which is my choice. And like many more thousands of people, right? And I was deeply annoyed about it, like a lot of other people out there, because I think it deems me to be unacceptable now in society that I'm, according to President Macron now across the water in France, which is another republic. I mean, he has said that those that will not take the vaccine are social pariahs. Well, Andrea, I don't consider myself a social pariah. Some of my people, I mean, fought, if you mean, against the Brits, I mean, to get the freedom we have today, right? And, I mean, I consider myself a free man, a sovereign Irish Republican who's aligned to no Republican Party. But the thing is, I mean, I should be able to access, I mean, restaurants or bar, whatever, without being hindered just because I decide to use my bodily autonomy to not accept the vaccine, which is my choice. And I know deemed to be a second-class citizen, like thousands more. Now, we've been told that there are 66%, I think, after revealing it already. They want to take it up to 80%. Mm. But even if they get 80, and what about the percentage just left? And the perception out there is that they'll keep coming for us. And I'm using that word, coming for us.
What do you mean by that, John?
I mean by that there will be so much intimidation that you won't be allowed into, to a cinema, you won't be allowed into a bar, you won't be allowed into a restaurant. They can even extend it like they're proposing in France, that major shopping centres that you won't be allowed in unless you have got
That's
your
right.
code.
Yeah.
Now, if they do that here, I can see, I always preach against violence of any kind and that kind of stuff. But if that happens here, like, I mean, I can see serious trouble here, because what they are then trying to do, they are trying to bully, harass and intimidate people that the 20% will say that will be left, so if they get the 80, to actually forcibly pushing us into taking the vaccine, because okay. people get so beaten down as a people, Andrea, right, and so depressed and so demoralised that a lot of people, they're hoping then will say, at the hell to this, look, I mean, we'll take it because otherwise, look, I mean, we'll never have a life.
Okay, can I just ask you, John, I mean, like, we're taking our advice from the National Public Health Emergency Team and NIAC with regards mm-hmm. to the vaccine. And the vaccines are proven to be overwhelmingly safe for most people. And the advice mm-hmm. is to get the vaccine in order to protect yourself, I suppose, from, you know, serious hospitalisation. Mm-hmm. If you were to contract COVID-19. And look, people are entitled to make up their own mind and their own opinion about whether or not they, you know, they wanted to take or to get the vaccine. That's their own business. Mm-hmm. But is it that you feel, because of the way the advice has been, you know, given to government and government have taken that on board, that, look, they feel this is the safest way to allow normality to resume, people to go for a bite of food, people to get back to work as well, that it's safer for people to be vaccinated. Do you accept that?
Well, you see, the thing is, like, are they going to extend it out to schools now, that you might have school places and stuff like that? But the fact is, look, at the end of the day, Andrea, you have a right to say no to any vaccine. It's not only this vaccine. No, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I get the flu injection every single year because I got the flu about 10 years ago. And it wiped me. I mean, okay. I was really sick. So I get the flu. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I get the flu injection every year. But I'm just not going to take this vaccine. And a lot of other people out there have the same mindset as myself. Like, as I said, I will stop nobody. Some of my friends have taken it. Some of my friends haven't taken it. I will not tell anyone or stop anyone from taking it. But I personally will not. And a lot of my friends and thousands listening to your show after dinner today, right, will not be taking it either. And we should not in any way be classed as some form of modern day pariah. That's
is that how you feel, John? Because so effectively, what will happen is, you know, you'll be, if you go out for something to eat night today or for lunch or a coffee shop or something like that, you know, you won't be allowed to go indoors because you won't have the cert. Like, I went out for a coffee yesterday after work and, I couldn't go indoors because I haven't received my second vaccine yet. So I sat outside and was quite happy to do so. So yeah. This will mean you'll have to sit outside. Now, do you mind that?
Well, I mean, sitting outside, just tell me, dear, I won't support anyone like you mean that's allowing people in and keeping the likes of myself and others out. So I'm not going to support them by sitting outside in, like, when they are, to me, are taking part in an apartheid system.
John, I mean, to be fair to them, like, those business people are, they're just doing what they have to do to get their businesses reopened, having maybe not worked in 17 months. Like, I actually saw one particular business owner had a video up online on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, you know, just making the point that he was getting an awful lot of abuse and online abuse from people for giving out to him for not letting them in. When, I mean, all he was doing was following the rules.
Well, yeah, that has happened here in the city as well. Like, I mean,
is that really fair, though?
I don't like it because you're quite right. Businesses have been toasted a long time. Staff have been, you know, I know they're getting payments or whatever, but as regards to business owners themselves, some very good businesses here in Cork and right around the country, obviously, of course, without saying. Like, I wouldn't bully intimidate any business, like you mean, like I'm online or anything like that. But I mean, voicing in my opinion and others, like you mean, when we feel that we are being discriminated, I think has to be held.
Okay, so your point is it's with regards to the way the reopening and if you want to call it this restriction has happened, the fact that you can't go indoors now without being vaccinated.
To cut to the chase, whether you like it or not, and however you dress it up and however many fancy bows you can put in it, like, it is an apartheid system.
Do you really think it's like that, John?
Oh, I do, yeah, and I'm not the only one, like, because, I mean, I do a lot of, you know, I've been around the radio for years, phoning in different shows and whatever, like, a lot of people know me here on Cork, like, I mean, and a huge amount of people have come up to me and discussed that, and they feel like, I mean, that we are being pushed into being second-class citizens, and okay, they will keep coming for us, as I repeat, Andrea, until we conform. Well, we will not conform, because it's our choice.
Did you say, John, sorry, at the start there, did you say that you went to go into a premises yesterday, or did I take you up wrong?
Yeah, I did, John.
You did. And I'm just curious, and I'll ask you not to name the business, but
no.
did they ask you for your cert and your ID and all of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people will take from this conversation, I suppose it's good to hear businesses are following the guidelines.
Well, if you're following the guidelines, yeah, grand, that's great. But I mean, it's not good for me. It wasn't good for me yesterday or the other people. I can't be the only one that this happened to yesterday, right? And like, as I said, it's just going to keep going on, and eventually it will just be, as I said, like the great unwashed that we're looking in the windows, like in life as we know it, not only for bars and restaurants, but for cinemas and, as I said, hopefully not shopping centres, because if they go down that road, I mean, I would be fearful for society, like, right, and the reprisals.
And can I ask you, John, just finally, is there any compromise you'd sort of be happy with or you'd accept? Like, you can sit outside, I suppose.
Well, I can, but I mean, just like anyone in this country, like, I mean, look, we had a good summer so far, Andrea, right? But I mean, it won't be long coming to an end. And can you picture yourself in Dublin? I mean, I was in Dublin there recently before we got the heat wave, and it was bucketing down, and I felt so sorry for the staff that were trying to duck in between umbrellas, very young staff, and they're getting soaked, right? So what happens when the weather changes, when there'll be nobody sitting outside?
I know.
And those that are not vaccinated, then that would have been sitting outside, will not be allowed inside.
Okay, all right. Well, look, John, thank you for getting in touch with us here, because as I said, there was we had a huge amount of people actually got in contact with us here on the program yesterday with very similar views to yourself. So we just felt it was important as well. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and we do ask you to call into the programme, so we felt it was important to hear your side as well.
Yeah.
All right, John,
yeah,
thanks a million.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, the complete opposite has happened now, actually. Richard in Monaghan has got in touch and he says, you have a right not to avail of the vaccine, but you don't have a right to endanger other people. This is ridiculous. Rejecting the vaccine that's been proven safe and pretending there's a two-tier society simply because you don't want to have a drink outside, says another listener. Apparently 95%, says this texter, of those who are hospitalised for COVID are unvaccinated. Surely the science speaks for itself. Kevin says my friend won't get vaccinated because he has concerns about how the vaccine, nonsense, get vaccinated, protect yourself and your community. This listener says, why does John think he has a right to put other people at risk? I'm sure if he contracts COVID, he'd be willing to take a place in a hospital bed. Leo has got in touch and says, I wonder just how many of the people who think like John would think the same way if they won around the world holiday and wouldn't be able to allow down the plane without vaccination. On radio, they'll say they'll refuse it, but I doubt that they very much will. Look, keep them coming in to us, 5 through 106. We might chat about this a little bit later again in the programme. Shane Venom, who runs the Balgriffin Inn in Dublin, is with us here on Lunchtime Live. Now, Shane, I spotted a video that you posted online yesterday. Do you mind telling us about the reaction you got from the public?
Certainly, Andrea. Yeah. It was actually Saturday. It was a couple of days before we opened. We posted a video. And I suppose what anyone was seeing the video, all we were trying to do was just kind of just trying to stop a lot of abuse that we were getting and to put it out there, trying to put our side of the story from the trade or the businesses, pubs or restaurants or coffee shops or whatever, who were going to open and why we were doing it and things like that. And I mean, within 24 hours, just we were called everything from Nazis, you know, Hitler, Jews, all these kind of messages, people saying, I hope your pub burns down. You deserve everything you get. You are spineless, cowardly. You know, all we actually did was put our new menu up on Friday night and ask people to be patient with us as we walk with difficult guidelines. And you know, we just got absolute dogs. Private messages, public messages, and it is. Look, it's still going on. You know, we got a phone call last night of a chap saying that he was planning a protest and a riot outside the pub today for 200 people. And we see another pub and thing just walked in this morning to see graffiti on the door saying two-tier scum. You know, and I thought the reason I posted the video was to explain to people that, you know, we're opening our business because we've no choice to open a business and to stay open.
How long have you been closed, Shane?
Yeah, well, I suppose the background is I opened the pub 2 years ago today. We put everything I had into it. And
this is a new business for you?
A new business, yeah. Right. Yeah, the old Campion's pub in the Malahide Road. I came in and put every penny I had and borrowed money to redo it and do it up. We were open for 7 months. We were then closed for... flying along, doing really well, closed for 17 weeks. Then we were open again for 13 weeks, went really well. Closed again for, I think, 4 months. Reopened in December for 2 weeks. And then Christmas Eve was the last day we served people indoors. And believe me, Andrea, when I tell you, we did everything to adapt in the meantime. Mm-hmm. We ran a very successful delivery and collection service for a lot of the closed months. The CRSS game, and we keep getting bet with this stick over the last few days that publicans have loads of money and you took the money and now you've no right to say it. I mean, the CRSS game, which is over now, and what I qualify for that, because it was a new business and it was based on the first year's takings, wasn't enough to cover the weekly rent, let alone the insurance or the rates or anything else. So we had to adapt. We had no choice. As a new business, we wanted to keep the brand alive, and we got into so many people's sitting rooms through cocktails and pints. We moved our popular bingo nights in the pub online. We did it on Zoom. We've been doing it since February. It's been hugely popular.
Yeah, so you've made a huge effort to try.
We tried everything just to keep the brand alive. We managed to get 11 of the 20 staff, probably 14 by the end of it, of the 20 staff back for the delivery service at the weekend. And we did so much to increase our brand and to stay alive. And to be honest, Andre, I very little of any profit, but more so because the CRSS game, I didn't go for it because there wasn't enough in it. So I had no choice but to try and adapt to keep the business alive. So this all kind of led up when everywhere else opened outdoors at the start of June, our deliveries and collections just kind of fell off a cliff because everywhere is back open again. And for the first time, we signed on to the CRSS game and said, look, we just have to, it wasn't viable to do it for a few weeks. We thought we were only going to have to close for 2 weeks. And then obviously the dates got moved back and 5 or 6 weeks. So that's the kind of background to it. So we did everything in that period to try and stay alive, to do what we could. Even when we closed the last few weeks, the man who ordered dinner every Sunday, the staff have been making it while we've been closed and bring it down to the man in the 80s down in Donegal. Yeah, you know, like we've done everything we can to try and keep our business alive.
Right.
And it was always the end goal, the light at the end of the tunnel of being able to open when we're allowed to open and welcome people back. And we honestly believe that yesterday would have been a day of hanging out the flags, and it's the first sign of properly coming out of lockdown, open to stay open, and, you know, really positive day. And from the minute we put the menu up on Friday night, to see the abuse coming in, we said, oh my God, have we got this totally wrong? We've been working towards this day for months, you know, and I've got a new seat, a new floor, a new cocktail area. I borrowed more money, you know, but it's worked to try and get the place right to this so exciting day of reopening, and to just be met with trolls and abuse, phone calls, messages, threats, for opening a business that, you know, we have no choice. I'm opening the business because we want to open our business again. We want to get back trading. We want to get 20 people back to work. We've 12 full-time and 8 part-time staff. Delighted to get back to work. You know, that we can the old people who've been cocooning for the last year, if you catch your mind back, they were told to stay out of supermarkets at the start. The people who vaccinated, they've cocooned, they've vaccinated, they've done everything that's asked of them. You know, we're delighted to welcome them back indoors, and anybody else vaccinated for that matter. So, I mean, to stay closed, you know, to keep these people happy, to stay closed, I mean, it's not discriminating. That's discriminating against people who are vaccinated, you know.
And I have to say, you know, we spoke to business people like yourself yesterday on the show, and, you know, I have to be honest about it. We had a huge number of people who got in contact and felt that they were being discriminated against because they're not vaccinated, which is why we said we'd chat to John and, you know, others as well on the programme today. And then we saw your video where you were, you know, effectively appealing to people to stop. Like, you didn't make up the rules.
So this is the point, Andrea, and that's one of the main reasons of the video. I mean, whether we agree or not, and the main part, we don't agree with an awful lot of the restrictions, but they're the only terms we can trade under. And if it comes to a black and white situation yesterday of open the door and get people back to work, or closed and stay closed, because there's no government support now, you can't claim any sort of the scheme. It's either open and go for it, or closed and stay closed, and you lose your business. You know, the bills, the rent, everything still has to be paid. Mm-hmm. You know, we won't be able to reopen, and not just us, you know, the coffee shop.
Yeah, you are open today though, Shane, yeah.
Oh, we're open. Yeah. We opened yesterday. Yeah, we opened yesterday.
And this is really going on.
A really good day. Honestly, a really good day. And it showed me that a lot of the people, a lot of the warriors, the keyboard warriors or whatever you want, the trolls, you know, that's what they are. You know, and the overwhelming, I'd say 95% of the feedback we've got in has been so supportive. I know our business is in the same boat saying, oh my God, this happened to us as well.
I have to say, even as I'm talking to you here now, Shane, there's plenty others coming in here too with messages talking about this online abuse that they're getting for opening their businesses. Look, we'll have to leave it there. Shane Venom, who runs the Balgriffin in Dublin, I should say. Shane, thanks a million for getting in touch with us here on the programme.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We were also earlier in the programme talking to, we were discussing the issue of vaccine hesitancy with one of our callers who got in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live, John. Julie is also on the line. Do you feel the same as John, Julie?
Hi, Andrea. How are you? First of all, thanks a million for allowing me to speak. It was great to hear John earlier on because thus far I feel like we'll say the opposite or a more balanced side of the whole debate has not been portrayed at all on mainstream media. So it's really wonderful to be able to get my point across. Like John, I feel exactly the same. He used the word apartheid, which I have felt from the very start. I felt that, you know, at a time when society has never known as much freedom, I mean, with regards to sexuality, religion and whatever, we're all of a sudden all being cornered into doing what is considered to be the best way forward health-wise, which many, many, many of us do not feel is the way forward. So I think, like John, my fears for the future are that our choices are so restricted, we're not allowed to voice what we're feeling because we're being branded as conspiracy theorists if we question mainstream opinion on things like health and how it's treated. And basically, I worry. I feel very, very anxious and very emotional about the whole thing. And I'm really glad that you've actually allowed us the opportunity to sort of voice it.
So we were talking yesterday on the programme to a couple of business owners because, you know, obviously indoor dining and drinking and coffee shops and all of that is allowed as of yesterday. And we were just chatting to business people about the whole rigmarole around the COVID, the digital QR cert and people getting in and out of premises and all of that. And after that conversation, And I have to say, like, quite a significant number of people got in touch with us, John and others, and now yourself, people who didn't get the COVID vaccine for whatever the reason, some hesitant, yeah, whatever it is, but just now not happy with the fact that they can't go inside today and have a coffee, or can't go for something to eat this evening indoors. You have to sit outdoors. I mean, did you go out yesterday yourself, Julie, or how do you feel about that?
I did, actually. My mum and my niece and I went out for lunch yesterday in County Clare, and we didn't choose to sit inside or anything. We sat outside because the actual premises had decided not to proceed with changing their current situation, and they weren't serving inside. So for us, it didn't really make a difference. But I think maybe you mentioned something yourself, Andrea, that you went for coffee yesterday, and because you haven't received your second vaccine, that you were quite content to sit outside. I mean, that's a great place to be, because you are choosing. You have your choice, and you've chosen, you know, your way forward, which is absolutely brilliant, and I've got nothing to do with it. But to be told that I cannot sit with other people because I have made a choice for my own health and taken responsibility for my own health in the best way that I can, as an informed person and as a person who's been fortunate enough to have a background in holistic medicine and lots of travel. I mean, I just don't get it. It's not good. It's not good. It segregates. And just as John said, the word apartheid, it's inequality. Complete and utter inequality.
And I have to say, John did use the word apartheid, all right. And now, there was a lot of messages came in after that. Donalyn Wicklow was one of them. And he says, you know, it's not discrimination or apartheid because people made a decision not to take the vaccine. Discrimination is based on other issues like age and gender and race. That in this case, I suppose, you've made that choice.
So we're living in a dictatorship now, Andrea, are we? We don't have a choice to make. We don't have the ability in ourselves as people with our own experiences, our own education, our own valid life processes, that we're not in a position as adults to be able to make a decision. It is making a choice. But I mean, it feels like we've actually, I actually feel at the moment, I was thinking about emotionally how I feel about it. I feel like I'm living in some communist state or some dictatorship where, unless you're actually just regurgitating the narrative, you are a person that's a threat to society, that's irresponsible, a conspiracy theorist, all of these things.
Okay.
And I just think it's not a good way forward. There are many, many, many people like me, and there are many people who have taken the vaccine purely and only, not for health reasons, purely and only to return to normality, and that's not a valid reason.
No, I have to say as well, like, you know, people, like, there's the overwhelming evidence and scientific evidence as well, and evidence from health professionals too around that. And sometimes I suppose what's being questioned, Julie, is actually where people are sourcing their information from. Just stay with us because I want to bring in John too. John has got in touch with us and John is on the line. John, like, you know, I didn't want to ignore the messages coming in because I do ask people to get in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live and to share their views. And that's exactly what people have done. So I think people have a right to be heard. But I've talked to you here previously in Lunchtime Live around concerns around vaccine hesitancy. Yeah. What do you say today now when you hear this?
Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity. And listening to Julian, you know, I can understand the anxiety and the emotional distress. But I think this conversation, I think, is several months, if not more, premature. We have to understand that we're in the middle of a pandemic where lives have been lost and lives have been hugely impacted by COVID-19. And at the moment, society as a whole is trying to manage the pandemic. It's trying to gradually reopen. And at this point in time, the vaccination program is such that it means that presently there has to be repercussions if someone chooses here and now to make a decision not to vaccinate either themselves or their children. Now, in several months' time or perhaps longer, I'm not sure, but further down the line, if we had a conversation where we had approached herd immunity, where society was safely reopening based on the fact that the vast majority of the adults and perhaps child population are vaccinated, then we could have a discussion about medical apartheid or, you know, the repercussions of something being forced upon someone that they could not go into a premises to have a drink or a bite to eat or whatever the case may be. But we're not there. There are still people in intensive care. There are still people dying. There are still people isolating. There has to be repercussions. And one of the repercussions now, and, you know, we know that this won't last. You know, there will come a point in time where it will be safe for people that remain perhaps unvaccinated to go back into a premises. So I don't take at all the argument. I don't agree with the argument when dictatorships are mentioned and apartheid are mentioned. I think to mention, you know, those in the context of this conversation, I think is way over the top and fosters a conversation that we don't need to go. We don't need to go there. We you know, ultimately, we're trying to work together to get on top of this, to allow everyone to partake in society again.
Julie, you're still with us too.
Yes.
Over the top.
No, I've got 2 points to make based on the gentleman. Is it John, the gentleman?
John, yeah, John,
Andrea. Yeah, first of all, you mentioned overwhelming scientific evidence. First of all, vaccinations come in. Viruses go through cyclical phases and cyclical highs and cyclical lows once they are introduced into a community. So vaccines are developed, and it usually takes 2 to 3, 4, 5 years for a vaccine to be developed. So the vaccine is introduced at a natural downturn of the cycle. This is a known fact taken straight from the Lancet, okay? I don't have the actual article in front of me. I studied a number of years back. It's been part of my studies for numbers of years. I'm not just plucking pieces of information out of the blue. I don't think it's over the top to say that. The second thing that John mentioned was that we need to achieve herd immunity. How does he know that we're not already there? I mean, we are already. There are so many cases supposedly every day. 96% or close to it are actually dealing with it, either with very, very minimal symptoms or mildly sick with it. I am not saying that it's okay for people to be very ill and in intensive care. I come from a medical background myself, in that, or I should say, not from a medical background, but I have many medical practitioners.
But just on,
in my family.
Yeah, but just on, okay, but just to leave that all for one side.
To say that we haven't already heard.
Okay, but
I just need to ask Andrea.
Yeah,
I'll ask
the question. Can I just ask you, Julie? John made the point that there's lives lost as a result of COVID, lives changed, businesses lost, businesses that are now trying to reopen. And I spoke to one businessman here, Shane, earlier in the show. And this is just an option that's being presented. Nobody has to go out for coffee. They don't have to go out for dinner. But if people choose to, to use John's word, he talked about this is one of the repercussions of this now, that they feel the safest way to do this is to allow those vaccinated indoors and not. And I suppose the message is coming into us here on the News Talk text line today now, and you know, while chatting to yourself and John here, is that you've made this choice to not do this, and therefore this is the repercussion, is that now you can't have your lunch indoors, you know, today or tomorrow, and that might change in the future, but just not today.
I understand that, Andrea, but I think you're losing the point of what I just said. I feel like as if modern medicine and scientists have basically taken over where the church left off. That basically, unless you conform, I actually, Andrea, I'm a 51-year-old woman who very, very fortunately has been able to travel the world for 25 years through my job and been able to expose myself to lots of other holistic medicines that have been very, very effective in the treatment of my own children and my father through his experience of cancer. So I'm speaking personally from my own experience, and I'm actually giving you facts. Vaccinations come in at a natural downturn. Mm-hmm. And I also want to know, why does John think we haven't reached herd immunity? This has been endemic in the population now for a year and a half, as we know it. I actually believe it's been here far longer.
Herd immunity, I suppose the figures as they currently stand would say quite categorically that we haven't reached a percentage, and depending on who you talk to, it's anywhere between, I guess, 85 and 93 to 95% of the population, that if we reach a point where those percentages are vaccinated, as has been the case proven very recently in Australia, albeit with a different vaccine, the HPV vaccine, they reached a point where they reached herd immunity and HPV-related cancer is all but eliminated. So I take my lead from the HSE, the Europeans Medicines Agency, and others, but people, I guess, that are entrusted, or that we entrust to give us the information. And as I said to you at the start of this, I think this conversation is premature. you know, this is there's a sunset clause on the current legislation until October, I believe. So this will be revisited. This is only a point in time, and it's legislation that has been introduced to manage the pandemic at this point in time, and that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And may I add, it would appear to be very effectively.
Yeah, let me just give you some more of the messages here. It's not mainstream opinion. It's clinically proven scientific fact, says this texter. A conscientious objection is fine, but there are consequences to every decision humans make. Fanula says the lady made her choice for her own health. Let her stay outside for the sake of the health of those who choose to be vaccinated. Another listener, every decision you make has risk and consequences. So if you don't get vaccinated, you avoid a tiny risk or the chance of a side effect, but the consequences of getting COVID with the light also have a life-threatening risk. This listener is a fully vaccinated family. We made our choice and we will not be happy sitting indoors with unvaccinated people. Would you be happy sitting next to smokers? The same thing, says this listener. And also on 53106, I feel really strongly as a person who has lost somebody and who would love the opportunity to be protected by a vaccine and was snatched from out of my family by COVID before he got the chance to be vaccinated. The whinging and whining about choosing not to get a vaccine and then not being allowed to enter the premises, absolutely apparent to me, says another listener. While this texter, bravo, totally agree with Julie and the vaccine. We're being controlled by medicine and money. Look, just a flavour, some of the messages coming into us, 53106, the email as well, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live on Newstalk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.